The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, protecting our most valuable treasures.
I like to take a minute and stare at Keith's hand. Because we're planning to grow old together. But what if we don't? I know every freckle on it. I help put every line on his face.
Taking your treasure back, next.
Thank you so much for joining us on Life Today. Well, it's Wednesdays with Beth. We always look forward to that.
Well, we do. And I'm James, and this is Betty, and we're just thrilled to have the opportunity of sharing someone as gifted as Beth is. I do want to remind you that we really want to encourage you to be sure you vote this year. You can go online, indivisiblebook.com, and you can find out how to get that book. And I think it's very important. If you have not read it, I would highly suggest you get a copy. It's also available now in paperback. I wish you could understand the birth pains of producing a book like this to try to bring a nation back to stability and in some ways back to sanity and to understanding so that we can set our course for a better direction. And the Christian vote pen, it just says Christians ought to be responsible citizens. And as Christians, we hold a standard up, try to get all parties, all candidates, all people to let's go in a better direction. When we need correction, let's make it, and let's make it together. Let's make it like a family, like Americans. Well, Beth Moore is teaching, and she's teaching on treasure. And I think you're going to like this. I love the way she shares. I like what she says. You're going to like it, too. How about welcoming Beth Moore? Here she is.
Number four is so important to us because we know there are treasures out there. We know that they are not our treasures until they make it past our defenses. We know that if we are able to sit and ponder it long enough, that these treasures would come together in such a way that we could see relationships between the things that we've experienced and encountered with the Lord Jesus Christ, and there would be great healing in some of the things that we've been through. But what we got to understand is number four, our treasure gets lost in the same trash as our time. Our treasure gets lost in the very same trash as our time. Boy, anybody, that's where I'd almost like have to just drop my purse and sit down. Because this is the treasure we don't have. Wouldn't we say today that talk to me about treasures, but the one treasure I don't have is I do not have the treasure of time. Well, you know what? If we don't have any time, we don't have any treasure. Because like astonishment or wonder can take a second, but it takes time to treasure something. We are incapable of treasuring something that we don't take some time to meditate on, to think over, to let rest, to take down deep past the surface of our thinking, going all the way from our brain down into our heart. That takes time, and it's a scary thing in the culture that we live in that we are losing the art of meditation. Y'all, let me tell you something. I will be at a stoplight, just at a stoplight, and I will grab my phone and look at Twitter. What in the world? I have said out loud to myself before, really? Seriously? 45 seconds, and you need to read something? Am I the only one? I need some company. Okay, really? And like every second has to be taken up. Every now and then, my phone, this is a sad thing. My alarm is in my phone. Anybody else? Where you set your alarm with your phone. That means you sleep right next to it. Right next to it. Do you know that because I can get my email on my phone, sometimes I will check it right before I go to sleep. Now, I ask you something. What good will that ever do me? Because if it's a good email, then I'm going to think, oh, that is the coolest thing. I'm going to think about it all night. If it's a bad email, I'm going to really think about it all night. What can you gain? But, oh, no, I'm going to take up every conceivable moment. God forbid that I sit and think. I have gone to great lengths, so it doesn't sound like I have, but over the last couple of years to slow the freight train down. I'm going to tell you something. I felt this way about my children, because I'm going to tell you, there's no doing it again. I'm not putting any guilt on you. Nothing is harder than parenting. But I am going to tell you that if you're thinking someday you're going to take time with them, there ain't no doing this again. There's no doing it again. And none of us do it perfectly. But we can take the time to invest in the people that we love. And so I was very aware of that as my children were growing, but I'm aware of it again with my grandchildren. I don't want to miss it. They only live about 12 minutes from me. And my friend Janice Meyer here on the team was asking me, she said, Beth, how often do you get to see them? I said, you know, we all do life together, four generations. My in-laws, Keith and I, our kids, their spouses, and our grandchildren. And we're together we do life on a weekly basis together. And I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss the moments like a few days ago when Jackson was playing with his cars and we'd had the whole dining table set up with a track and we were playing together and we were just laughing and it was also very intense. He says, Bibby, and that's what he calls me. And I said, yes, and I'm just ready because, you know, it's my turn with my car. And he says, I love you. And I'm just like, boy, I love you, buddy. Treasure it. Ponder it, pull it in, guard it, defend it. Don't ever forget it. When he's a teenager, and the favorite thing he has to do is not come to his grandparents with his friends. Remember this, remember this. I never want to forget what Annabeth looks like when I've just gotten her out of the bathtub and I put her little jammies or her little gown on her and I set her on my bathroom counter with her little feet in the sink and I blow dry that hair. And y'all, I can get it this big. You cannot believe how I can get that hair to do. I mean, it's just like huge by the time. And then if it's not big enough, I put a big bow in the very top of it. I love it. I love it. I always want to see what she looks like, what that hair felt like. In my hands, I love it. I love still to this day to see my daughters. I don't very often see Amanda because she lives close enough where she doesn't spend the night with us very often. But Melissa, my youngest daughter, does. And I love to see her when she's asleep. Because she looks just like she did when she was four. And I just love to just sit there. And I'll just sit there on the side of the bed and just play with her hair. I just love it. And when I leave, very often, she'll say, I love you, Mom. You know, because she's been awake. I just haven't known she was. She's aware of me sitting there. I don't ever want to forget it. I want to treasure it. I like to take a minute and stare at Keith's hand. Because we're planning to grow old together. But what if we don't? I know every freckle on it. I help put every line on his face. And you know, what's a treasure to one of us is not necessarily a treasure to another. I got to tell y'all a story. I wrote it down right before I came out to serve you guys today. I've told you before, I love this team so much. And my dear sister, Faith, not my blood sister and naturally, but my blood sister in Christ, Faith is the makeup artist. And I'm just crazy about her because she is a woman of the Spirit. I love that. She loves the music that we play while we're getting ready. And she told me such a story. And I said, oh, I've got to jot that down. It's just perfect with our lesson. I knew that God had done it on purpose. I was complimenting a bracelet that she had on. And she said that many years ago, she had seen a woman with a bracelet like it. And, you know, it was like gold or maybe brass type. But and you'll hollow inside, kind of around. You can picture what it looks like. Just a very simple gold or brass bracelet that's hollow inside. And she said that she really loved it because she thought that maybe it had been made to be all dented in like this woman's was. And she said it was the coolest thing because it was just like, it almost looked like an antique, the way it had all been bent up. And she wondered if that was the way it came. And so she said something to the woman and the woman said, oh no. She said, you know, my baby teethed on it. She said she just couldn't get enough of it. And she just teethed it. She goes, those are all the marks of her teething. And she goes, so I wear it. And she said, every time I see it, and the child was much older then. Well, my friend Faith said, oh, she was going to do the same thing. If she had another baby, she was going to do the same thing. Well, sure enough, the Lord gave her another baby, got her gold bracelet, just like it, handed it to that baby. She said this part killed me. The baby wouldn't do it. She said she even put it in her own mouth and chewed on it. You know, like, really, honestly, this isn't that hard. You put everything else in this house in your mouth. Why can't you put this one bracelet? And she said, to this day, that bracelet doesn't have a single dent on it. Why? Because that baby didn't treasure that, but the other one did. Sometimes one treasures something that the other one doesn't quite get. Number five, we're going to build from Luke 2, 22 through 35. I want you to see these words. It says, and when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him, this is the Christ child, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Now I want you to just picture that the Son of God, God's own Son, is being lifted up before him in this scene in the temple courts. It's just so intriguing to me. 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, listen to this, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, 35, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. A sword will pierce through your own soul also so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. This whole portion tucked in between these bookends of Mary being the exception. You see, we'll always be the exception that we will be a people who treasure. But Mary, while everybody else was just like all awed and full of amazement, Mary stopped and she treasured it in her heart. Everything that is tucked in between is part of what she would have treasured in these scenes in the life of the young Christ. And I want you to notice with me that she's told at this moment that a sword will pierce her own heart too. I want you to write this down, then I want to illustrate it to you if I can. Number five is this: we'll miss our most expensive treasure if we look past the hardship and pain. We will miss our most expensive treasure if we look past the hardship and pain. We got to get a new way of looking at hardship. Because listen, there's not a single thing that you've been allowed to go through. Think how many things you've asked God to help you completely avoid, to deliver you from, and you're still in it. Now, do you think he didn't hear you? Because he heard every single plea of your heart, and still here you are in it. So somehow, some way, there was treasure in it. There was treasure in it. And that we've got to begin to look at a hardship to realize if God has placed me here and if he has not delivered me when he can most certainly hear my prayers, there is something here for me to treasure. Now, I want to show you something because we've thought about all sorts of things we can treasure, experiences, encounters, revelation, things that God has done for us, wonders of God, all these things. But I want you to think now about the people we treasure most on the planet. There are a lot of people we like. You'd agree with me on that. And there are a lot of people that we even say, man, I love her. I love her. And we just pitch that word around. But in a lot of respects, what we mean is, I don't know her very well, but I'm really taken with her. She really seems to be a neat person. So many of those. But then there are people in our lives. Whew, they're in. Mm-hmm. They're in. And how we know we treasure them is this. I'm going to ask, can I use you for an illustration? Tell me your name.
Ashton.
Ashton, you are so precious. Can I use you for just a moment? Ashton, I'm going to turn you around just like this. You know that you treasure somebody when if a sword went through Ashton, it would pierce my soul too. That's how I would know. That anything that hurt this child went not only through her stomach, but all the way through mine. That's when you know you are emotionally invested in the people that you treasure. What happens to them that causes pain, what pierces them, pierces you. That's how you know. Now, Ashton, when my daughter was about 21 years old, my youngest daughter, she went through a broken engagement. And it was one of the most painful things I have seen either of my children go through. It was a train wreck. We had the dress. We had everything under the sun. We had it planned. These were two godly people. In every other respect, you would have thought they should have lived happily ever after if there were any real such thing. And it just was not the Lord's will. And I can tell you that I sat next to that child for weeks and weeks, rubbed that back, sat with her and talked to her, just sat silent with her. She was as limp as a dish rag. And I mean, this is a child that has the heart of a lion. And she was just spent, brokenhearted. And I'm going to tell you something. I said so many times that during that period of time, it was like she had been in a car wreck and a head-on collision, but I was in the back seat. Mm-hmm. Make no mistake, Mama's in the back seat. Because nothing can happen to them. There are probably, what would we say? Let's not overdo it, because how many people can you put yourself that much at risk with? Mm-hmm. So say there's 20 people in life that we treasure. Anybody getting this with me? Mm-hmm. We treasure. That what happens to them affects me. And when a sword goes through her heart, it goes straight through mine. And see, that's why we hate to take the risk. To treasure something is always, always a risk. Always. But this is life. If I get home to my father and I have not treasured relationship, that I've treasured all these experiences, but I did not want to put my heart so far out there that everything that stabbed her had to stab me too. If I miss that, if she had missed the one, if Mary had decided, listen, like what if God could tell us? What if He would? He could. But what if He would tell us when we're holding an infant in our arms, man, that child is going to be a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. What if we begin to distance ourselves? What if she had said, a sword into my heart? Uh-uh. I'm going to move back. But she stayed right in there to the point when that sword came, she was standing right there at that cross, and it went straight through her soul too. Thank you, darling child. That's what it is to love. That's what it is to truly treasure. That we literally throw our hearts out there at risk over and over and over again. The end of that chapter tells us what to do when we've lost our treasure. Go looking for Christ. Where is He? Where is He? Where did He go? Where did He go? It says that they were in a traveling party, and I love that because, man, I do love a traveling party. I love me a party. And I thought to myself, isn't it interesting? Can't this happen? Has it ever happened to you? Because it's happened to me. That they were all together to go to the feast. They were all around Jesus. But has it ever happened that you got together with this whole group of people that you really love, that you had really got together because of Jesus? Maybe at your church, maybe a Bible study group, but somewhere along the way, where is He? Is He? Where did He go? Anybody? Like you thought, this is how we started. What happened? Where did Jesus go in this church plant? Where's Jesus? I don't mean where's all our rituals. Yes, we've got our bulletin. We've got our music. We're gonna pass the offering plate. We got all that going. But no. Where is Jesus? Where's Jesus? Because sometimes it's time to get up and go look for Him. If you lost your treasure, you don't go looking for your treasure. You go looking for Jesus, because He's got it. He's got it. Because, girlfriend, He is it.
diaphragm. It is.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Well, you will find what you're looking for in Him. Whether you lost it or you feel like you never found it in the first place, He is the source. He really is the treasure. In the pursuit of the joy, the happiness, the security, the peace, everything your heart longs for, He's the source. And I pray you go there, just like Beth has suggested. Betty, we've got some real exciting opportunities. I pick up here a little Christmas ornament. It's in this beautiful little felt bag, and then there's a little gold shoe on a little string. And that's a Christmas decoration. And the thing that makes it so important is that it represents little shoes for little feet, like these, and then for a little bit older children with adjustable straps like this and many other sizes, that we're going to do our best with your help to put on the feet of 200,000 children this Christmas in areas where most of them never had shoes, and many of them get diseases that cause incredible health problems, sometimes brain damage and even death. I want you to watch. You're going to like the scenes. I've already seen what we're about to watch. Think about one of the little children you'll see, thinking about the joy that we can give them. We call it Christmas Shoes and Smiles, and that's what we can do together. Watch this. I think you'll see what I'm talking about. I'm asking you to give as many pairs of shoes as you can to put on these beautiful, beautiful feet of these beautiful children. Thank you. Thank you for your help. That's, I tell you what now. That's Christmas smiles and shoes right there for Christmas. She didn't have any cleft palate surgery. She got some shoes and put that big old smile on her face. And Betty, I'm just praying everybody watching during this last week when we take the Christmas shoes and Christmas smiles emphasis, that everybody watching will help us at least give, 10 children shoes. That only takes $36. 72 will give 20 children shoes, a gift of 144. You got to do the math. 144 will give 40 children shoes. At some level, you can help us. Would you do that? Is there any way you could say, I'm going to make 40 children really happy for Christmas? I'm going to give them shoes. But don't step out if you can't do that. If you can give 10, those 10, because we've targeted with the missionaries 200,000 little children in their feet to bless them. And then the smiles, Betty. I think everybody wants to give a smile to a child.
I do too. And you had to have a big smile on your face when you watched that little girl dancing around in those shoes. It had to make you grin. Well, we want to put some shoes on some children's precious feet, but we want to put some smiles on some children's faces too, James.
And we can do that together. Would you dial the number right now? Like I said, this is our last week of this Christmas Shoes and Smiles emphasis. You dial the number. Please take your bank card. Use it like a check. Wisest way to use it. And make the largest gift you can. If you want to write a check, make the check to Life. But call that same number. Tell us what you're mailing. Many of our friends like to go online now and make their gift. You can go to lifetoday.org and just make the gift God puts on your heart. We've got it immediately. And that helps us. We can tell the missionaries, hey, you're going to have shoes for the children in your area. And that's why we work way ahead of time. I know it's way out. The little Christmas ornament, you're excited about that right now, but you will treasure it. Mm-hmm. And it'll bring back some great memories. Our son's book, God Wants You to Be Happy, great Bible study, great lessons. What a gifted writer. Proud of our son. He is a treasure. And we want to send you the book as well as the other things that we've mentioned, like the beautiful lion and the lamb bronze, if you'll give those smiles, those gifts for a couple of children, have a smile, $1,000, give two smiles, would you do it? Whatever you can do, we're asking you to go to the phone or go online and make that special gift. And from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you for doing it.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. For most of these children, they've never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in the light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections that could lead to crippling consequences, disease, and even death. By responding today, you can help Life immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 200,000 children around the world just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will provide 20 pair, and a gift of $144 will help provide 40 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. In appreciation of your gift, be sure to request the inspirational new book, God Wants You to Be Happy, by James and Betty's son, Randy Robison. With your gift of $100 to help provide 28 pairs of shoes, you may request this beautifully crafted shoe ornament to place on your tree each Christmas. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries, and you may request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, we really do want to send you, Randy, our son's book, God Wants You to Be Happy, Discovering the Deeper Joy Than You Ever Imagined. Joy is within. Happiness can be on the outside, can be fleeting, but joy within allows you to have a peace and a happiness in the midst of challenges and circumstances. It's a fabulous book. We're sending it to all of you who will just help us give some shoes. We have the beautiful Christmas ornament, the lion and the lamb bronze. Remember, this is the last week of our Christmas shoes and smiles, and we're asking, please, every one of you all over the world, would you call? Would you go online, lifetoday.org, make the gift God puts on your heart? You're going to make a big difference. You're going to really give some children some smiles and some shoes for Christmas. That's going to be special. Thanks for doing it.
Tomorrow, Ruth Graham, the daughter of Billy and Ruth Graham.
God wants to build on weakness. You know, as we give it to Him, He can build strength out of the broken places.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.